You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Follow Up Boss, one of the leading CRMs, client relationship managers, for residential real estate. Tons of top producing agents and some of the fastest growing teams out there are using Follow Up Boss to increase lead conversion, eliminate busy work that you're not doing anyway, and frankly, deliver a higher class experience in real estate to everybody who chooses you as their realtor of choice. So if you're going to keep listening to this, which I know you will, there's more information and a personal review of Follow Up Boss. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And if you're wondering why I'm so happy, I'm about to introduce you to one of my favorite humans in real estate. Her name is Eileen Oldroyd. She's known as Green Eileen. And before you tune out, you should know she is my favorite of the sustainability green people, because all you're going to leave in conversation with after you talk to Eileen is a renewed sense of hope, optimism, and frankly, ideas. So enjoy this episode, leave her a nice comment, and I'll see you on the other side. Eileen Oldroyd, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to put my headphones on backwards so they weren't like taking our pen.
I mean, but they do match your hair. So there's that when you have the corded earbuds and you also have the amazing hair, it totally blends in. So well done.
I'm so excited to be on your podcast today because of the title. Crazy shit that happened in real estate. So that means I could actually cuss, which is so freeing.
You know the rules though, no F-bombs, no GDs, no see you next Tuesday, just our sweet little salty words. And by the way, Move your little sound a little closer to your mouth. You're getting a tiny bit of echo.
Make sure
you sound as amazing as you are.
You're so sweet. How's that? Is that any better?
That is so perfect. And it still blends in with your hair. Okay. So I think you should tell our listeners and viewers where you're located, how long you've been in real estate, give them a little bit of insights as to you.
Sure. So I am Eileen Oldroyd, owner of Oldroyd Realty here in Orange County, California, which is halfway between Los Angeles and San Diego. And more specifically, I am from South Orange County, which is officially the land of the Real Housewives of Orange County, the OG, where it all started, and which also is the land of Botox and Bentleys.
I don't think you would need any Botox ever because you're like so well created.
You are too kind, and that's what we call filters. We love filters.
You've never used that stuff, have you?
I don't have a filter on. I just have a virtual background. That's it.
See, because you don't have to, because you're naturally beautiful, and that's where you're supposed to do what Dale Carnegie taught years and years ago, which is just say thank you.
Thank you. Ooh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. So did you ever sell a house to one of the original housewives, or have you been around them? Have you seen them at the grocery store? Do they really like live normal lives? Because I like Real Housewives of Atlanta because Nene is my spirit animal, but I'm fascinated that these people actually like exist.
They do exist. In fact, one of them is part of our local association and she comes to our broker previews. She's still selling real estate. Yeah. And she was in a fashion show. We had Women's Council Realtors doing a fashion show. She was in the fashion show. It was great.
So is she delightful and they just edit it all for drama on TV?
I've never met her up close and personal. So I don't know. I can't answer that question. But I do know that other people have met other housewives. And let's just say a lot goes into the writing and edit room.
Which sounds about right, because Hollywood cannot be trusted. Frankly, let's just be honest about that. So are you in the part of Orange County? Are you near Santa Ana?
I am near Santa Ana. Yes, that's in the actual center. So we're all near Santa Ana.
That's like the best, those, what are they called? The little food halls now where you have all the little tiny restaurants in there. Santa Ana has the best one I've ever had the pleasure of eating supper at. It was amazing.
Oh, yes. And then there's also the Packing District in Anaheim. And both of them are like the Ferry Building in San Francisco. It's just amazing things, magical things happen in there.
There's something in Anaheim besides Disneyland?
Who? hard to believe.
You live there? It's not just like big boxes and perfection on the outside.
Yeah. I mean, I have a funny story about trying to get into downtown Disney, which was quite an adventure. But yes, I mean, there is that the happiest place on earth. And then you see everybody walking away because we just had our state convention in Anaheim. So all these moms and dads and kids in strollers that are crying because they're overly tired and overly sugared. I'm like, I'm not sure that's the happiest place on earth right now.
Okay. They never say who's the happiest. It's Disney who's the happiest because what they charge in that place, because you and I have both had experiences with family in that park. Although the last time I was at Disneyland, I had a broken ankle. And so we got to have the rock star line access because I was in a wheelchair.
Oh no.
My kids were so funny because they were a little smaller at the time. And they're like, Mom, you have a legit reason to be in this line. A lot of these people riding around in wheelchairs just need to be walking more. And I was like, you know what? They're right. But of course, I said, maybe they have conditions you can't see, like heart problems or breathing problems. And my son, who's very black and white, said, Mom, those are caused by not walking. I'm like, I'm not going to argue with a kid who actually sees things. He was 10 at the time. But anyway, so you're a realtor and we're talking all about your area and friends. That's why you want to know other people in different places than where you live, because they do bring you insights. Because as somebody from North Carolina, I do hear Anaheim and think Disneyland, but there's so much more to it. And sometimes you get lost and wind up in Santa Ana to get the best food ever. Mm-hmm. And realtors tend to know that. But we actually want to talk about Eileen's big giant passion in the world, which is pretty much all things green. So before we tell your crazy story, I'd really love for you to give some insights as to how you became such a vocal advocate for all things green and what you do in that space as a leader. Just give us some of the best parts of Eileen, because they're all going to see why I love you so much in just like 2 seconds.
Aww, you're so sweet. Well, it all started about 12 years ago, well, a little bit, maybe 13 years. Well, I've always been conscious of the environment. I'm the weird girl that goes on a hike that picks up trash.
That's not weird. That's good behavior.
That is good behavior. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It just, to me, is morally wrong to leave your trash behind. And so I was that. I was always worried about pollution going into the ocean and how it could be prevented. And if we all did something small, that we would eventually change the world. And even down to single-use plastic, which is the scourge of the planet, is plastic. That's a whole other subject for a whole other day. But I was telling my husband years ago that my dream real estate car was a 1985 Mercedes-Benz diesel that ran on waste vegetable oil. I said, that would be the car that I would want to drive as my daily driver, which is like completely crazy to do in South Orange County when you're expected to have a BMW, a Range Rover, a Mercedes. So we actually purchased a 1985 Mercedes diesel that we converted to run on waste vegetable oil.
And are you serious?
Yes. That was my daily driver. Yeah. The veggie mobile.
How many miles per ounce do you get used? Because it's not per gallon, right? It's per ounce. I'm dying. This is crazy.
Okay, I know this is crazy. So, and I have to be clear about this. It was not biodiesel. It was literally waste vegetable oil. And over 100 years ago, there was a guy named, I think it's Randolph Diesel, that created the engine that runs on waste vegetable oil so farmers could produce their own oil. But big oil took over after that. And now we're the petrol industry, which where plastics come from. But once again, that's a story for another day. So it got about 30 miles to the gallon. It is a gallon, yes. And we had a tank in our trunk that would hold the waste vegetable oil that we cleaned in our garage. We had a filtering system that we cleaned in our garage. And then through a series of pumps and heaters, it would go into the regular engine and it would ran great.
So do you go to restaurants to get their leftover oil out? Or is that too gross? Do you have to use like Wesson oil from the grocery store?
Oh, I
did not expect this direction, but I'm fascinated by this.
We got it from Craigslist. So there are people that you can't get it from regular restaurants because they sell their oil to other companies for rendering. So if you can't get it from like McDonald's or something like that, you have to go to independent restaurants, privately owned. And there are those that collect it from sushi places are the best. Sushi places have the cleanest oil. Donut places are the worst because they don't recycle their oil. They just use it. There's a lot of oil. And so there's no reason for them to. They just add new oil to it. So I'm like, well, this is going to be a perfect match for me if it's a donut shop and waste vegetable oil.
Instead, you probably don't eat donuts anymore now that you know what the oil looks like, right?
Oh, no, I still eat donuts. My favorite food ever.
Good to know.
Yeah, but it was interesting. You definitely need a man that tinkers. There's a lot of things because it's not like you can go to a regular dealership to get it fixed. So Mr. Terry would fix it. And I had the best time in that car, the best. It was, my little ear pod came out, but I would pull up to a house for the first time and I would see my clients there. And they were kind of like, are you sure that you're a successful real estate agent? And I told them about the Veggie-mobile. And then all the guys were like, oh my God, I got to see this. So they wanted to look under the hood. They wanted to look in the trunk. I had this big Marine that was in the back seat. And he was just like, literally, he was like, had his arms out and he's just relaxing. He goes, this is the best. Like, I love this.
How many miles did you get out of that car before you had to retire it?
Oh, I had it for about 4 or 5 years. So, gosh, 45, maybe 60,000. The husband would know the answer to that. But we got a lot out of it, a lot. And I loved it. I loved it. The main reason to get rid of it is I could no longer need it. We were all on cell phones and doing speakerphone and those types of things. It was just too loud. It was too loud.
Oh, so I had to. That purr is a roar instead of a purr.
Not very well insulated. So it's like,
Did you at least keep it or did you sell it? You kept it.
We sold it. No, we sold it to a couple that wanted the whole package. They wanted the filtering system, which was a series of 2 55-gallon drums and a centrifuge and a heater and literally a gas pump with a little thing that ding, 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 tell you how many gallons you put in there and the car. And it was, they took it all up to LA and they love it. They love it. It was a dream come true for them too.
Oh my gosh. Now a visual I have in my head is you driving that DeLorean in Back to the Future at the very end when Christopher Lloyd comes back and he's feeding banana peels into it. Remember, like it feeds on compost at that point. Yeah. That was you. You were doing that before that movie was made. They probably owe you some royalties.
They may. But the whole irony of this thing is that when we did the conversion, we had help from a mechanic who specialized in it and his nickname was Smokey.
Because of course,
like this is brilliant. This is, of course, it's Smokey. This is great.
I mean, but your name became Veggie. So, I mean, it all plays out over time.
It does. But, you know, I got a degree in real estate. That was right about the same time that NAR was offering the green designation. And I thought, I'm going to walk the walk and talk the talk and be a green realtor. And I think that you can help people save money and save the environment at the same time by educating them the proper way to make their home more energy efficient. It has to make sense. It's got to make common sense. You shouldn't put solar on their house just because a salesman is coming to your door and tells you that you need it. You need to do your research. And it's frustrating to me that these solar companies are hardcore salesmen and they're not benefiting the owner. So that frustrates me.
Well, the most important thing you said was to do things the proper way. And it's exactly what you just said. I had a conversation with a seller, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and he's like, should I put solar panels on the house? And I said, it depends, because the solar guy's going to tell everybody they need panels. And he's going to say the tax credit's expiring and we cover your costs. And I'm like, look, do you own the panels or do you lease them? What happens to them when they go out of technology or out of fashion? So are they recyclable? Are we creating a problem? How much sun do you have on that part of the house? Did you ask your HOA? I mean, there's like so many different pathways to go down. And I think that's probably what all realtors know is the answer to any question is it depends, which is also going to apply to the green space, because we're told constantly everything must be this all the time, must. And you are an advocate for sustainability and for green, but you also know that it depends matters, because I'm going to guess you'd agree with me that it might be worse if you're using solar panels that aren't recyclable and are going to be out of commission within a year, that they wind up in a landfill, but you saved $2 on power for a minute. It's got to have a cost-benefit relationship to everybody.
It needs to make sense. The first question I ask people is, when we're thinking about putting solar on our house, it's like, well, how long are you going to live there? If you're planning on moving in 2 years, don't do it. It does not make financial sense. And what's your current electricity bill? Are you working out of your house? Do you go to an office? How many children do you have? Do you have air conditioning? Do you not have air conditioning? And really the most important question is, how energy efficient is your home already? Because if you have a house that's leaking like that's really not insulated properly, you have 1972 insulation in your attic, you don't have proper insulation in your walls, then it does not make sense to do solar at all. It's like, we call it reduce before you produce. So reduce the amount of energy that you need. So when it comes to producing through solar panels, you don't need as many panels because they are a for-profit business. And when they see a huge roof on a property that's facing the south, they go, yeah.
What do the young people say? Brr, they're about to print some money, brr. I love how young people come up with things, but you're totally right. And you talk about making your house more energy efficient, reducing. All I can think about is a tube of caulk. I mean, how many houses have we been in where the air is sneaking out around the windows because they never did that easy? Takes you a minute, but it is easy. That deferred maintenance of updating the caulk around the windows and the door and just those seals.
That's right.
It's not rocket science, but it does take you a minute to do it the right way and not be gross and sloppy. But
or hire efficient handyman. Because if you see light, if you see sunlight coming through your front door, yeah, you need to take care of that. That's a draft. That's a draft that's coming in your house.
Which means
your house is drafty.
The sound of your money leaving your account. And your energy, but it's energy and money, also green, right? So it's lots of green things.
Exactly.
All right. So as a realtor who's focused in this space, who advocates for this space, what do you think is the single biggest opportunity for the average homeowner to take their first steps toward a more sustainable real estate house? What's the one thing everybody should go do besides caulk? I took that away from you.
That's the low-hanging fruit, we call that. I would get an energy auditor. You know, we go to the doctor, we're not feeling well, we go to the doctor and they do tests and find out what's wrong with us. That's what an auditor does. It's like, well, okay, these are the issues that you have in your home and where you can save money. It's interesting too. They don't really recommend changing your windows. That's another thing that's only about 10 to 15% on your savings on your bill. But I would get an auditor. If you don't want to do an auditor, then just have somebody come out that could analyze your HVAC system, which is the number one drain on every house is the HVAC system. So just make sure that all of those leaks are sealed, that it's properly insulated. You don't use duct tape on ducting, use insulation tape because duct tape deteriorates over time. The other thing I would do is your pool. If you have a variable speed pool pump and that can pay for itself in about 6 months, not a dual speed, not a single speed. You want a variable speed. And a lot of gas companies and electric companies, they will give you a rebate for that, maybe about a $200 rebate. And they cost about $1,200 to get and possibly install. But once again, it'll pay for itself in a year. Our electricity bill improved by $75 a month when we went to a variable speed pool pump. So those are the three big things I would do right away just to see where you're at, where your house is at, where you can improve.
Okay. So I told y'all that I would do a review of Follow Up Boss, you know, because I'm your friend in real estate. And I did. Now, you know, there's a Blue Million CRM out there. I mean, if you go to any Facebook group, every realtor's like, which one should I use? Which one should I use? And you know that these CRM, which are client relationship managers or customer relationship manager, whatever you want to call it, it's truly a system that's just designed to help you know what to do next because you're very busy and you're a multitasker in real estate with all those different tasks and balls up in the air. You need something to help you stay on track. And that's what Follow Up Boss does. Now, when you save a name and a phone number in there, that is basically a Rolodex. Follow Up Boss is going to take the names and phone numbers and also help you know what to do next. So you can maintain these relationships with your neighbors because that's what this is about. Real estate is not about serving just prospects and clients. It's about taking great care of your neighbors' needs in real estate. And if you'll use a tool like Follow Up Boss, where they remember you, oh, they might even call you when they're ready to buy or sell again, or when their mom and daddy do, or their best friend or their kid, and you want to be top of mind. That's what a product like Follow Up Boss will do for you. Truly, it's going to change your business when you start paying better attention to people. They don't have to know you use Follow Up Boss, but they'll totally understand that they are being heard by you. So now there's a free trial for my people because you're loved. Go to followupboss.com/crazy. No credit card is required. And frankly, because you're my people and we made an ask for you, Follow Up Boss said, yes, you get double the free trial. That's actually enough time to log in, put some pieces in it, and watch it change your business as it has for so many realtors and teams nationwide. Again, go to followupboss.com/crazy to start your free trial today. Well, the first thing I'm going to do when we finish recording this episode is go find out what kind of pool pump is on the house because that falls in the husband's list of things. And if it's not variable speed, I got a phone call to make. And if it is, then I'll give him a high five because he wouldn't have any idea about this either. But I got to go back to the energy auditors, because you and I both know, as professional realtors, sometimes you call a professional, an inspector, and they come in looking to find problems so that they can make money. How do you find an energy auditor that you can trust that is actually looking out for the best interest of the person in the house and for the best interest of the environment and the community, and is not just looking to scam somebody?
Correct. There is a company, I think it's ResNet, R-E-S-N-E-T, ResNet.com or ResNet.org, and they are certified raters. They're called HERS raters, and they are certified in looking at the house properly and the systems, and to find out how a home is on a scale of 0 to 100, with 0 being the best, meaning 0 is net 0. They analyze and audit a home. So that's probably where I would go first. A lot of your HVAC providers, your heating and cooling providers, they may have that certification already, but you can go to the website and find an auditor in your area.
That's fantastic. So I wrote that down too, because I want to make sure I'm checking that out. And now I got to ask you another question, because you've sold a lot of houses in your career and your clients love you for lots and lots of reasons. California is usually on the leading edge of things related to environment mandates and regulation and all that fun stuff. What changes have you seen to people's energy habits as far as what they do to their houses that actually results in an improvement to their property value? Anything? Because I would say in North Carolina, our buyers look at an energy efficient house as a, hey, that's a perk, but they won't necessarily pay for it. They're intrigued by energy efficiency more than they are seeing monetary value. Are you seeing monetary improvements and returns in California that maybe will make their way to North Carolina one day?
They may make their way to North Carolina. I think the biggest one that has statistics and studies on it is if you own your solar panels. So if you own your own solar panels, FHA and the big GSEs, they all, the GSEs, but Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they recognize if you own solar that it actually adds value to a home. It's not all created equal. It depends on what system you have, how many watts, how efficient your system is. It is old, is it new? And they decline over time too, just like certain, like your car, you know, your car declines.
You're not saying like us that we don't decline over time, right?
No. We age.
So we're marinating or something. Things are better than marinated for a while.
Exactly. So we age with time. We get better and wiser. That's what we do. Get better and wiser. So that is the number one factual thing that you could do, is own your own solar panels. The second thing you could do, which is a little bit more technical, is get your home energy certified. There's a great company out there called Pearl Certifications that take an existing home that have had a certain upgrades to the home done, and that they will certify it as a green home. And there's different levels of certification, like a silver certification, a gold certification. So if you have a third party that comes in and certifies your home, you could advertise that on the MLS, and this is a certified green home. And once again, there are studies that prove that people will pay a premium for certified green. What's coming down the pike is the total cost of homeownership, and that includes your insurance. And we all know about flood insurance, but there's natural disasters that hit every state. California is fire, mudslides, sea level rise. North Carolina, you have sea level rise, hurricanes. Do you have tornadoes in North Carolina?
Occasionally. When they happen, they only tend to hit downtown areas, which is kind of weird. But hey, things happen everywhere. Just like with flood insurance, I should point out to all of you who are listening and watching, when Eileen says flood insurance, if you're living in a state that doesn't have the ocean, you might in your head blow off flood insurance, but we got to remind you that if it rains where you live, then you could flood. Just a reminder that flood zones are fairly arbitrary and drawn up by the government. So ask yourself how much you trust the government, and then think about flood insurance on top of that question. Because I carried on my rental properties that are not in the floodplain, I carry flood insurance, because you don't know when a flash flood's going to occur. And if you ain't got coverage, you ain't getting any help.
That's exactly right. And FEMA says there's flooding in all 50 states. So New Mexico, I think, is one that had, like, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I don't even know the elevation there, but they had a big flooding issue. You never know when you're going to be inundated. And we're seeing superstorms. We're seeing, they used to call it 100-year storms. They can't.
I love how they make that up, though, because they weren't any of them around 500 years ago. They're just like, this is a 500 years from. Yeah, this sounds the worst one ever. Okay. Okay. Clicks and taps on the internet.
Totally. But I think what's different now is before you could go to look through the past and see the history of natural disasters, but they're so random and powerful that they can only forecast what it's going to be like. And FEMA is not a fallback plan. FEMA is just to get you over the hump. And when we were in President's Circle, I couldn't believe how many homes were not on stilts. I was shocked. And the apartments were.
In a tropical climate, we were in Florida, y'all. We were in Marco Island, Florida, and that's a tropical climate. Like, it's closer to Cuba than it is to the rest of Florida. And houses, just there they sit in the ground.
Exactly. It's like, I think that you may want to think about raising, they call it abandoning the first floor, where if you want to prepare for a disaster in those types of environments where the elevation maximum is 400 feet in Florida, when they get hurricanes and sea level rise and all these things, abandon the first floor and build up upon that. So park on the bottom and then have your house above that. And I think that is the future of how we're going to mitigate or do risk management from these natural disasters, because as a real estate professional, you need to protect your product, and our product is housing. So I know that Leslie Ruta Smith, the incoming NAR president, that's one of her priorities for the year, which all of us greenies are like, yay!
Well, and it makes sense, right? Because you have some people in the intelligentsia and the media that would say nobody should ever live in these places ever again. Okay, so that's never going to happen because there's a lot of people that will absorb the risk to have the environment that they want. Plus, we already have a housing shortage. You don't want to get rid of houses, but you can absolutely make adaptations to make sure that it does make sense no matter what storms happen, and it makes sense for the long haul. And then you can still enjoy the oceans and the lakes and the deserts and wherever you live. So, Eileen, we could talk in a million different directions, but you know, I have to ask you, I mean, all your years in real estate and all of your green life, besides your car, which is now officially one of my favorite crazy stories in the podcast, is there any other story you want to share with the audience about life in real estate that you still can't believe you've survived?
Yes. Okay. That's so funny. I'm like, yeah, that kid's crazy shit in real estate is my veggie car. I'm not sure how.
I'm going to watch Back to the Future tonight to look at the banana car, and I'm going to think of you, but your hair is better than Christopher Lloyd's hair in that movie. So just for the record, but carry on.
Okay. So the story I wanted to tell you is just about a piano. I was working with a young couple and they came from Ohio and they wanted to live the California life. So we were looking at homes that had the tile roofs and the stucco exterior. And we found a house that had a pool and they said, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we're looking for. And when we were in the living room, there was a gorgeous antique vintage upright piano, probably about 100 years old. Me personally, I didn't know what it was, but her eyes lit up and she sat down and she played the theme song to The Phantom of the Opera. And I know you're a piano player. And she filled the entire home with this gorgeous music. And it ends up that she got a scholarship for college or master's in composing. So that was her deal. So I said, wow, okay. So she just said, I just love this piano. And one of those pianos where it could be worth a lot of money or it could be worth a little bit of money. So we just kind of went on with the escrow transaction. And during the escrow transaction, I got an email from a listing agent and said, hey, look, the sellers, they're willing to sell you the place, the playpen, the slide swing set outside and the refrigerator, and they're just willing to give you the piano because they'd hardly ever play it. So I kept quiet to the listing agent about how important this is, this piano.
It's not a material fact. That is not in the real estate commission as a material fact that somebody liked the piano. Yeah. She's not breaking any rules, people.
Right. So then she said, you know, I need to get this. And the person that she is going to do the appraising tuned pianos for the LA Philharmonic because her mother played piano. She's from Russia and her mother played the piano for the Philharmonic. In fact, this tuner kind of worshiped her mother. And so in the industry, it's a very small industry. And she said, oh, you want me to take a look at this piano? Yes. So he looked at the piano and he said, okay, here's the deal. If you invest $1,500 in the piano, it's worth about $25,000. If you don't want to invest any money in it, it's probably worth about $10,000. And I said, so do you want the piano? She said, absolutely, yes. Okay. So I communicated back and forth with the listing agent and I said, they want to buy the fridge. They want to buy the playpen outside. What is it called?
Playset.
Playset. Thank you.
Playpen is a pack and play, and that's different.
Yeah, exactly. So we were really excited about that. And when my husband went to the house right before the final walkthrough, he called me and he said, Houston, we have a problem. And I said, what? He said, the piano's gone. I'm like, what?
No.
Piano's what? Piano's gone? He goes, yeah. I said, this is not something that they wouldn't notice when we did the final walkthrough. Because every time we went to the house to measure for the inspection, she was playing the piano. She loved this piano, but she said, there's just something kind of wrong with it. But we had the expert. So I called the listing agent and I said, where's the piano? He said, they had it professionally removed. And he said, didn't you tell me you wanted the piano? I said, I thought I did. I thought I told you you wanted the piano. We wanted the fridge. We wanted the playset. We wanted the piano. And I look back. I had nothing in writing. I had nothing in writing that said we wanted the piano. Oh, the listing agent got in touch with the owner and the owner was pissed. He goes, oh my God, it cost me $250 to get that thing removed for this professional piano mover. Yes. So I
here's your $250, dude.
Exactly. So I call the piano mover and I said, do you remember picking up this upright from this house? He goes, yeah, I do. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, we weren't supposed to remove it. And he was so nice because he didn't say, you owe me $10,000 to buy this piano off of me. He said, just pay me $250 and we'll move it back. God, how lucky is that? How lucky is that? So I said, absolutely. I'll stop by and pay cash right now. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. The day that we were signing docs for their loan was the day that we were doing the final walkthrough and the piano was not there when they were signing docs. And I had my husband at the property telling, I said, you need to give me the, do I need a stall? Is it there? You know, is it there? And he said, okay, they just pulled up and I was kind of like, let's do lunch. How about if we do lunch and just celebrate? Exactly. I know this great place. And so we went to this awesome Mexican place that makes their own agua frescas and their own horchata. And I said, oh, tell me how you make your horchata. I hear that you home make it. So the chef, he was talking about this horchata and I get a text. The eagle has landed.
I love your husband.
I said, okay, I'd meet you. You know, we had our lunch. We enjoyed ourselves. We drove to the property to do the final walkthrough. And I walk in and my husband's sweating. And she starts playing the piano and she's so happy. And she just starts crying. She said, I'm just, oh, you made my dreams come true. I'm just so excited. And we're going to have children. I'm going to teach them how to sing and play the piano. And there's such a beautiful history on this. And so Terry and I know it was beautiful. It was wonderful. This is not the end. This is not the end.
My stomach is still hurting because
I know,
your pain here.
Oh, years later, I see on Facebook that she's selling the piano. And I call her up. I said, why are you selling the piano? And she said, it has a cracked case. So the soundboard, the metal part of the piano, the soundboard. She said, I remember when I was playing the piano that there was something wrong with it. And I thought after we had it tuned and fixed that it would fix that problem, but it did not. And then when we looked at it further is when we found it had a cracked case. And so she said, it's worth nothing.
Oh, but you know, it was better to pay $250 and have it be worth nothing than it not be there. And then you'd be out $10,000 because they thought it was worth something. So she enjoyed it while she had a chance to enjoy it. What did she get? What did she sell it for? Did she give it away?
I think she gave it away.
Because, of course.
I know. And the funny part is that when the piano was being delivered, my husband was making it. He doesn't know anything about musical instruments, but he was talking to the delivery man, and he was the owner of the company. He's like, yeah, you know, it's all right. You know, they just kind of wanted it because it makes a good ornament in their house. And I don't even know if it's worth $250. And the guy's looking at him kind of strange, like, this is my biz. This is what I do. You can't tell me that this piano is only worth $250 when in fact it was.
And now we know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Oh, if you're a realtor listening to this episode and you're thinking that would never happen to me, let Eileen and I be the first to tell you, you should never, ever mention those words, because these kinds of things happen to all realtors. And the mark of a true professional is how hard you dig in to figure out how to make it right, which is exactly what Eileen did to make sure that even with having to use a long lunch for it, the right thing happened, which is who you are. So tell our people how they can find you if they want to connect further and learn more about Southern California, about being more green in their business. What's the best way to connect?
The best way to connect is my cell phone. It is 714-390-4255. And my name, EileenOldroyd@gmail.com. Got to make it easy. Got to make yourself discoverable.
It's true, but they could always join the Women's Council of Realtors if they're realtors, and that way they could connect with you through leadership and a wonderful organization too. And I'm just saying, it's a wonderful chance, people, to get to know leaders like Eileen, because I got to meet her through Women's Council, and here we are several years later. Thank you for coming on the show. I always appreciate you and everything that you do in this profession and beyond, and how you make doing good things feel like it's possible. So I'm grateful to you for that.
And I'm grateful for you to shining the light on amazing people. Lee, you're very special in this industry, and we need more of you. We really do.
I don't think we can handle more of me, but if we have more Eileens and Lees, and then whoever you are that's listening, you're like, I want to be in the club too. We welcome you, friends, because none of us have a corner on amazingness, but we get to do really big things together. So all of Eileen's contact information is in the show notes for this episode. So if you're a smart cookie, you'll go connect with her on social and reach out to her with your Southern California needs or to find out more about Women's Council or Green. Most importantly, though, put a comment in there to tell her how much you appreciate her and love her, and give us 5 stars and subscribe so you don't miss any more episodes. And I'll see you next time. Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.